Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of A Blessing in Divorce. Today, I want to talk about anger. Anger is one of those massive emotions that we all feel at times for any number of reasons. Sometimes it's coming from us, sometimes it's coming from others, and it can be a scary emotion. It can be a productive and helpful and educational emotion. It can be many things. So today, I'm going to share a masterclass that I ran in the Separation Club about anger. I run these masterclasses every month, and the anger one was really, really good. It was very obvious that people needed to talk about this. You know, it could be showing up in any number of ways, that you're constantly irritated with people you love, that you're sending angry text messages or emails to your ex, or that you just walk around with this low-grade boil all day and everything triggers you and pushes you over and you're kind of freaking out about everything, and then you realize that you've become this person who's just angry all the time. Whatever it is that is troubling you about your anger, or if you're just wondering how to even let it go, that you tend to stuff it away and is causing other problems in your body, things like sleepless nights because you're ruminating, maybe you're just experiencing a lot of anxiety and stress because of it, I want to talk about all of that today. So I'm looking forward to sharing this masterclass with you. I've never done that before, but I think this is going to work out really well. I just want you to know at the very end, you will hear me saying, okay, now we're going to start talking. I decided to cut off the part or not include the part where we chatted after. So after every masterclass, we always chat and I answer questions and they talk to each other and they support each other. It's beautiful. However, for privacy reasons, I felt that it was important for me not to do that because this episode will be aired on all kinds of platforms and is available to everyone. And there's definitely people that these women don't want to have watching, you know, what they said. So in, you know, to protect their privacy, I had to take that off. But having said that, I want to mention how beneficial that part of the masterclass is. It's in many ways, I mean, yes, I teach and I give steps and all of that is helpful to them, and they write notes and anything, you know, like they take notes like crazy, and you're probably going to want to take notes today as well. However, it is the conversation at the end. It's knowing that you're not the only one who sent that angry text, that you're not the only one who feels like this every single day. You're not the only one who snaps at your kids because you're really angry at someone else, or any number of other ways that anger shows up in your life that you don't like. Or maybe you just have no idea what to do with these emotions. So I am going to talk about all of that today. But I want to invite you to take advantage of this beautiful community that I've created here in the Separation Club. And on May 13th, I am kicking off an experience. It's called the Healing Heart. We're going to get together every week for 6 weeks. We'll get together on Zoom. I will present some content. We'll talk about everything that has to do with healing the heart. You know, what is it? What is it? What are the stories we're telling ourselves? What is the pain story that we're living in? How can we let go of it? And how can we create a brand new story for you? One that embodies who you want to be and the life that you want to live, because it is available to you. If you can dream it or think about it or want it, it's available to you. Let's make it happen. I know it doesn't happen overnight and probably doesn't even happen in 6 weeks, but I will promise you, I can get you well on your way in 6 weeks. This is not the first time that I run a course or a coaching sort of experience in the Separation Club in the efforts of healing. I've run many and they've all been incredibly successful, in that the success stories of my participants has been amazing. Several of them ended up taking the course twice, even three times, not because they didn't understand, but because the work built on each other. So they went through it once and it's like, look at the progress I made. I'm going to do this again so I can go even farther with this, right? But I want to help you kickstart this experience of the healing heart in a big way. Maybe this is the only time you need to take it. Maybe you want to take it again. That's up to you. But I want to make sure you're successful. One of the things that often happens when we go through these, you know, courses or read books, we read these things and we learn these things and we're like, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to implement that, but we don't. And that's the biggest thing that I give my students or my coaching participants is implementation. It's teaching them how to make this part of their life so they actually can impact a change. I'm taking you on the very same journey that I went on when I went through a divorce, and I want you to benefit in the same way that I did. I truly transformed my life from a place of service to my now ex to a place where I had no idea who I was. I was not honoring my truth or my dreams. I didn't even know what they were, to having to answer all those questions and many more, and really stepping into my new life. It's the only reason I'm sitting here talking to you. I can't believe I'm running a podcast. If you'd asked me a number of years ago if I'd be doing this one day, I'd tell you, we're absolutely crazy. So let's do this together. Let's jump into this healing journey together. You're not meant to do it alone. Divorce is not a journey to be taken alone, and you are not alone. There are literally thousands of women in the Separation Club, many of which are going to be taking the Healing Heart with you. However, I will cap each group at only 10 people because I want to give you the kind of attention that you deserve and that you need to really embrace this journey. So sign up for the Healing Heart soon as you listen to this episode, because if you do, I will give you a free coaching session before the course starts so that you can really step into it ready to run. Okay, I want to get you prepared. So, okay, enough about that. There will obviously be more information about that both at the end and in the show notes. Now, let's talk about anger. I'm really glad you're here. This is a very, very important conversation. So I welcome you to listen to the masterclass that I ran. Thank you for being here. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of A Blessing in Divorce. I am so grateful to be allowed into your headset and day today. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm the host of this podcast and the owner and founder of The Separation Club, which is the club you never wanted to be part of, but the best club to be in if you're going through separation and divorce. Here, we talk about how to heal, move forward, and find love if you're so inclined. Also, motherhood through divorce, finding yourself, and creating the life you deserve. Our tools are community, sisterhood, honesty, vulnerability, spirituality, and coaching, and that's when we aren't talking to our experts. I'm also a divorced mother of 4 adult sons, remarried, and a stepmom to 3. So we will be talking about everything that goes with all of that here. If you are recently separated, thinking of separating, divorcing, or even beyond your divorce, but still feeling it, then this is the podcast for you. Let's get started with, we're going to talk about anger. So anger is often seen as a very negative and a bad emotion, and it can be, but it can actually be really constructive as well. So I want to go through all of that with you today, when it works or how it works for you, how it works against you, and how to get rid of anger, because that can also be one of those things that you notice is staying around, an emotion that sticks around. So basically what we're going to do today, I'm going to give you a bit of an overview of what anger is, why we feel anger, the benefits of anger, and of course, when anger is a problem, and then how to deal with it. Like, you know, as always, and for those of you who've been in my masterclasses before, you know you're going to get quite a few tips and tools on how to get rid of anger, or to learn to deal with it in a way, or experience it in a way that is constructive for you. So anger, and by the way, if I'm going too fast, just put in the chat, slow down. I try to stop and take a breath every now and then. So just, all right, so here we go. And I'm looking down at my notes, by the way. I have lots. Okay, anger is an emotional state that can vary in intensity, obviously. You know, you can be a little bit angry. You can be super angry, explosively angry, right? So it can basically go from mild irritation to absolute fury and rage, right? We've all experienced it within ourselves, and we've experienced it most likely from other people. Anger is a natural response to threats, for example. That's why we have it in our body, or have that emotion. It's to kick us into sort of that fight or flight mode, which is one of the reasons it is beneficial to be able to experience anger. Anger tends to inspire really sort of powerful feelings, sometimes aggressive, and aggressive isn't always bad. Aggressive sort of feelings and behaviors in us, which allow us to kind of fight for ourselves or defend ourselves, you know,
up against some kind of a danger if we're attacked, for example. Now, generally speaking, we're not physically attacked anymore. I mean, I understand that there are cases of abuse, but that not really getting into that today. When I say we aren't really being attacked, I mean like we don't have saber-tooth tigers running us down and attacking us. We don't live in the world where every time we go out our front door, we have wild animals coming after us and trying to eat us for lunch that day. So, you know, a lot of these very sort of primal, instinctive emotions that we have, like fear and anger and those kinds of things, were kind of are in us so that we will survive. It's to keep us, our senses heightened so we can survive when we are in danger and that we will react quickly and powerfully. And that's what anger does for you. So, in other words, anger, a certain amount of it is actually necessary for our survival. And if we are ever physically in danger, somebody's attacking us or trying to rob us or do anything physical to us, it is again that feeling that will help us try to protect and defend ourselves. But generally speaking, when we feel anger, it is for much less dangerous situations. It can show up out of the blue. And so, as much as I'm today going to be talking about your anger or anger that you might be feeling, of course, everything that I say would also apply to somebody who is being angry sort of at you. And it might, I really encourage you to look at it in that way. If you're in a situation where somebody's constantly being angry with you, this can help you understand why. It does not justify, it doesn't make it okay. It just means that you might be able to understand better why this anger is coming your way, and therefore might be able to handle it better or find new ways to de-escalate the anger or to get away from it or whatever. So I'm hoping that it'll be helpful for all of you, regardless of which direction the anger is going. But mostly, I want to talk about the anger that probably sits within you, because when you go through something like divorce, inevitably at some point, you're going to get pretty angry. So, and that's normal. So why do some people get angry or have more of a temper and others than others, right? So how often we feel angry, how quick we are to anger, how explosive we are when we're angry, all of these tend to depend on a few factors. For example, our childhood and our upbringing. We might have grown up thinking that it's always okay to act out our feelings. Maybe we were, nobody ever taught us or helped us understand that our emotions can sometimes be inappropriate to share in that way, basically, right? So if we never learned that, then we might still be very explosive in our emotions and not realize the impact maybe that has on other people. You may have been so that's for people who are very angry. We're also going to talk a bit about the people who suppress anger, and that, of course, again, can come from an upbringing where you were taught the exact opposite. Do not show emotions, right? Do not tell us how you feel. Do not come in here all emotional and upset. We don't want to hear from you when you're like that. So that would have taught you also to suppress your emotions and therefore suppress your anger, which, like I said, we'll talk more about what that does later. You also may have been raised in a household where there was a lot of anger. Maybe your parents fought a lot. There was a lot of yelling and screaming. There was a lot of anger around you, directed at you, or whatever. And again, so this became an acceptable way in subconsciously for you to show emotions. And so you might feel that you're quick to anger. So I just want to say too that there's no judgment here. We're not, you know, if you were to say, like, yeah, I can be really quick to anger, it's okay. The goal here today is to help you understand a little bit more about why and what you can do about it, especially if you don't like the way you are maybe treating people or treating yourself or the things that you're saying when you're angry. That's the goal here. The goal is to move forward and to find tools, okay? Not to judge ourselves or each other. There's going to be no judgment here. So please don't hesitate to share what you're feeling. So if, for example, some of these resonate with you, pop it in the chat so other people can realize, okay, it's not just me. Like, let's share and let's make this an open conversation. All right, so those are some of the reasons why some people anger quicker than others. It can also be past experiences. Like, for example, we might react more strongly to something that's happening right now, but because of something that's happened in the past that was very sort of unjust to you. That sounds really wrong when I say it like that, but that was something not good happened. Not finding my words today. Something, an injustice was done to you in the past, and it caused anger and a wound. Maybe you didn't deal with it fully. Maybe you weren't in a situation where you could express your feelings then. And then something happens now that triggers. And so anger gets triggered and anger shows up. So if you ever feel like you sometimes explode at something and later on you're like, wow, I really flew off the handle on that one. Like, what caused that? Like, why did I blow up like that? You know, sometimes we find ourselves realizing later that, yeah, I might have overreacted, and where did that come from? So, and again, I'll get back to this, but this is one of the benefits of anger. You can learn from them. So, but anyway, so the things that can cause some of us to have less control of our emotions and our anger than others is, like I said, childhood experiences, past experiences, and of course, current circumstances like stress, bereavement, divorce, discrimination or an injustice, or some really upsetting or worrying events. And so I think that this is all, you know, we get that. And Mimi, I see what you're saying there. You get angry and you want to let him know how you feel because he always said that you need to tell him when you were angry and communicate. I don't know if you're still in a situation where even there's any point in telling him, but we can talk about that after. So I want to come back to this, okay? Because when we're going through something, so I'm gonna put divorce in the upsetting and worrying events, and also in the stressful events, as well as in the bereavement event, because you're losing something. So it really checks a lot of very stressful boxes. It's no wonder we feel really we feel unsafe, and that's one of the reasons we get angry. Because remember what I said in the beginning, that anger comes from a place of protection. That is the instinct of anger. So it shows up uncontrollably because we feel unsafe. And feeling unsafe isn't just about physical, like danger. It's also about emotional danger. When we feel really hurt or really abandoned or really rejected, we feel unsafe emotionally, and it creates the same reaction, the same stress in our body as if we were physically unsafe. This is why, thankfully, you know, studies and learning and education has taught people who work in the field of divorce that whether it's physical abuse or emotional abuse or verbal abuse, these have the same kind of effects on women. Yes, they're different, but the trauma is very similar. So understand that the anger response as well, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's you're reacting to something from a place of lack of safety. Okay. The other thing that can, of course, cause us to react angry in an angry way as well are things like our health and well-being. So lack of sleep. If you know, if we're not taking care of ourselves, hormone imbalances, and also mental health. You know, if we have something going on other than that. So that was just a little bit of an overview about like where anger comes from. Let's talk a little bit more about the benefits of anger. So anger, like I said, it comes from a place of lack of safety, and so it kicks in to help us survive, to help us run away if that's what we need to do, or to help us take control of our situation, to be aggressive about that, and to, you know, to feel powerful and to be powerful for ourselves. In a way, for us to be advocates for ourselves, sometimes we have to get really angry first. And that's when we finally go, I've had enough. This is enough. I can't do this. Here are my boundaries. I'm done with this. You can't talk to me like that. But that comes from a place of anger. You've had enough. And it's the anger that fuels that courage, if you will, or that willingness to finally say something. And I'm sure every single one of you can relate to that feeling. All the times you didn't say something because you didn't want to create a problem, or you didn't want to be the problem, or you didn't want to rock the boat, or you didn't want to make someone else angry. But then one day it just can't be held in anymore. And so the need to say something happens. And when you do, it can quickly escalate within you. Like it can start as a conversation, but it doesn't take long for it to escalate into anger. Now, anger doesn't always have to be expressed as yelling and screaming. That's a complete loss of control, but it does quite quickly go there because we are we are feeling attacked. We're feeling unsafe. So it's going to go there. Anger can also, so as a result of all of that, can provide you with the energy that might be necessary for you to take action, to move forward, to finally say, I can't do this anymore. You know, it might feel really scary to say that. You might have thought about it many times for many years, or just to put that boundary in place. Or, and it's not just, this is not just about your partners, by the way, or your exes. It's about anyone in your life. Those people that just poke and hammer at you all the time, you know, or people who are just constantly disrespecting or being unkind or something like that. And then one day you've had enough and you speak up, and that usually comes from a place of anger, but you get the energy, the bravery, the confidence to do that from anger. You also get energy, like if you get really frustrated by a situation, it might not be, okay, well, let's just use divorce as an example and see if this makes sense. You know, maybe your ex is moving out and they're leaving this huge mess everywhere after they're leaving, and it makes you so angry. And what does this anger do? It's like it propels you into tidying up and organizing and reclaiming your space and doing all the things. Like it gives you this energy to do something so that you don't remain stuck and waiting and in control of other people anymore. You actually take control of your own life, and now you have the sort of the like the energy to take care of this and to do something about it and to achieve your goals or to correct something that's been unfair or unjust and just move forward, right? So it can be really helpful in that regard. And think about how you feel when you feel angry. Your heart beats faster, your breath gets faster, like it's like you're exercising in a way, right? Like you just have this extra energy. So just all kinds of things happen in your body when you're angry, and if you can use it in a constructive way, the anger is good. It's good to go through the angry stage. The angry stage is what finally pulls you away. And that kind of brings me to the last point, or that falls inside the last point, which is that anger can serve as an opportunity for spiritual and emotional growth, because it shows you that there's something wrong. Like there's something inside you that is hurt, that is wounded, that needs to be healed and dealt with and looked at. So when we lose control and get really angry, or we feel that we're not able to let go of the anger, all of those things tell us there's an unhealed wound in me that is making me feel unsafe. So as much as we tend to blame other people for anger. If they just didn't do this, or I get angry when this happens, or when they do that, or when they do that, that makes me angry. Yes, that makes you angry, but most likely because they're triggering a wound that had you feeling unsafe before, where you suppressed your anger perhaps, or where you weren't able to or allowed to say anything, so you suppressed it. So you now finally you're able to say something, like you found your voice, if you will, you found the strength to say something, and now it might really overflow. And so anger is what pushes it forward. And that's okay, as long as, you know, we're not hurting people and so on. So I'll get into sort of the how do you know your anger is too much conversation in a few minutes. But anger provides us with a sense of control. And as a result of feeling that we now are taking control of our life and taking a stance and standing up for ourselves, it can make us feel a bit more optimistic and stronger and braver in a way that, like, okay, I can do this. I don't need someone else to do this for me. I can put this barbecue together. I can change the tires on my car. I don't need a man to do, like, you know what I mean? Like you can see how you can get rolling with anger sometimes, and it can really kind of boost your confidence and you're like, I can do this. And then you find yourself doing it from that place. And that's a constructive and productive way to be angry, lady. So it's not all bad. It's okay if when you're doing these things for the first time, you're by yourself and swearing and cussing and calling someone who's not there every name in the book. There is nothing wrong with that. Get it out. Let it just like, whew, just let it flow. So if somebody's in earshot, that we need to start checking our anger just a little bit, especially if there's kids around, right? Okay. So that kind of brings me to when anger is a problem. So anger can be a very difficult emotion because as much as it can make us feel in control, if it goes too far, we can end up feeling out of control and we lose control. And then it doesn't feel good anymore because, again, we've all been there. Like we say things we wish we hadn't said afterwards. We overreact to something. Now we've potentially given someone else a reason to be mad at us, and they're not wrong because we said stuff or whatever. And so it didn't serve a good purpose. It can be a really difficult emotion. So, and we all have times when we struggle with anger. And like I said, I think divorce is one of the times where anger is an absolute stage. Like there's no avoiding it. And it can quickly escalate to a place that is not good because you're dealing with anger probably from someone else. You're dealing with a lot of heightened emotions, a lot of blame, a lot of cruelty, unkindness, like just a lot of shit, plain and simple. So sometimes anger, when it gets out of control like that, and even if it's at a low boil, but it's constantly there, like you wake up angry. How many of you wake up angry? Like just throw a me or something or yes in the chat if you do. But you wake up angry. You're like, as soon as you get up in the morning and go and get that coffee or get in your car to go to work, you're like, you just know you're still angry. You're just angry. I'm angry all the time. And I know I went through a stage like that. So I imagine most of you have either been there or are heading there or are done with that, but whatever. The thing is, no, it's not a good feeling. And so the thing that being in the state of anger all the time, it first of all is extremely stressful. It can distract us from the things that we need to do. Like, we get so focused on for us to be angry all the time, we need to focus on the things that make us angry in a way. We're rehashing, we're constantly in that place. And so it distracts us from the things that we actually need to do or that could be helpful or could be healing. It does tend to make us say and do things that we might regret later. It definitely makes it harder for us to express ourselves clearly and calmly. So we're actually heard by the person we're trying to communicate with when we're standing there like spitting with anger. People aren't listening to us anymore. They really aren't. Just like, somebody's spewing anger at you. You're catching phrases. You're not catching the meaning. It's, it just doesn't, it doesn't help. It definitely can lead to arguments and conflict with other people. It can cause you to snap at people around you who you're actually not angry with, but you're just in such a state of anger, you can't keep a lid on it. It's like it's right there all the time, right? And it can make us feel guilty and ashamed. And that's the last thing we need on top of everything else, right? It stops us from recognizing or dealing with other emotions that we're feeling because anger is so big. It masks a lot of other things like, depression potentially, or just, all the other things that were, emotions around like things that are happening, like understanding why am I feeling this way or what am I reacting to? We don't notice those smaller signs and feelings because we're dealing with this massive emotion. It makes it harder for us to take care of ourselves. It impacts our self-esteem. This is like, ongoing, daily, constant anger. It has an effect on our bodies, like through stress. Any emotion that you ever deal with, whether it is anger or sadness or whatever, anything of a negative nature, well, it's true for positive too, but we're not talking about that today. But any big emotions that you are carrying over time, that you are not dealing with, that you're not understanding, that you're not healing, will eventually show up in your body. You will eventually start having physical problems. You'll get sick. You'll not sleep well. You'll have anxiety. Like your body will eventually start showing you that this is causing problems. And if you're not going to pay attention to the emotion of this, of anger, then I'm going to start getting sick, like physically ill. Maybe you're going to have headaches. You have heart palpitations, you have anxiety, you have constant stomach pain and discomfort and digestive issues. That's your body saying there's something wrong and you're not paying attention. Maybe you'll pay attention now since you can't fall asleep because your tummy hurts every night, or you have a headache when you wake up every morning. That is your body saying there is an emotional issue that has not been dealt with. Anger is a big one, a big one. And ongoing anger will show up in some way. And it can cause people to make judgments about us that are not nice. So these are some of the things. Basically, if you, those are the negative sort of aspects of anger, but here are some signs for you to know I need some help with my anger. If you feel like you can't control it and that it controls your life, if you find that you're expressing your anger in unhelpful or destructive ways, such as either in a violent way, like throwing things, whatever, or self-harm in any way, that obviously you should get some help with that. Your anger has a ne negative effect on your relationships, not just with that person, but with everyone. It's just becoming, you're becoming this angry person that's causing problems at work, it's causing problems at home. If your anger is hurting, frightening, or upsetting the people around you, like your kids, for example, if you feel unable to go on with your daily life because of your anger specifically, if you find yourself thinking about it and what you're angry about all the time, you might often be doing or saying things that you regret. We talked about that. Anger is becoming your go-to emotion. It's like the first place you go. Anything happens, you're angry, like immediately angry. I'm so angry. Like it's just something you say to yourself, you know, half a dozen times a day about all kinds of things. You know, somebody bumps into you in the store and it just immediately you feel angry. That's how you know it's just sitting there all the time, just ready to go. You're in fight or flight all the time. You're in an incredibly stressful place. You need help with your anger at that point. If you find that you can't remember things that you say or do when you're angry, and if you're using any form of substance to help you control or to deal with your anger, that's also not a good thing. Okay, so that was sort of the negative part of, or the more difficult part of the conversation tonight. And so just, you know, I just want you to hear those things. And if you feel that some of them belong to you, then I would suggest, well, I'm going to give you some tools, but beyond that, it might also be a good idea to talk to your therapist about it, to get a therapist if you don't have one, to work with a coach to manage and you know, learn things, coping strategies for daily, to get through it daily and stuff like that. But I'm going to give you some tools as well. That's what I do. Okay, so how are we going to deal with anger in a productive way? So people use conscious ways and unconscious ways to deal with it. Most of us, before we get into a super stressful situation like divorce and standing and having arguments about our house and our kids and things that matter so much to us, we all manage our anger probably pretty well, right? And sometimes we manage our anger by expressing our emotions. So it's a really healthy thing to do is to express how you're feeling, to express that you're angry. It's there's nothing wrong. This is, you know, what you're saying is making me really angry. It's when we start spewing, you know, nasty things that it's not being productive. But expressing your feelings, your angry feelings, to the person that you need to share that with in a constructive way, not in an aggressive or an attacking or a blaming way, is the healthiest way to express anger. And there's it should be done. There's nothing wrong with doing it. So that's definitely a good thing. And even if you have a friend who you can go to and say, I had this interaction with my ex or my soon-to-be ex or whatever today, I am so angry and I just need to get it off my chest. And then just get it off your chest with that person without being too aggressive in a way that's uncomfortable for them. But just express your feelings, get it all out of your system so it doesn't live in your body anymore. So get rid of it. Remember that being assertive, which you can be, there's nothing wrong with being assertive. It doesn't mean you're being pushy. It doesn't mean you're being demanding. You know, the word assertive has often been, you know, something that is a plus if you talk about men being assertive, that's like, oh yeah, they're very assertive. They you know, get what they want or need or whatever. If women are assertive, it's considered a whole other thing. It's not a bad thing, ladies. There's nothing wrong with being assertive and expressing how you feel. The other way that anger can be dealt with, depending on the situation, is by suppressing it. So, but not suppress and forget. Suppress, like, no, I'm not going to explode right now. This is not the place to do that. But I recognize that I am really angry. So I'm going to channel this energy into something else right now, and I'm going to deal with my emotions later. So maybe it's the perfect time to go and rake the lawn or shovel if you have snow, you know, in the winter, or go and exercise or go for a walk or do something else that expels the energy that's coming from the anger so that you can deal with the emotions later. Okay. It's probably one of the most, I don't know, a common, well, it's common to suppress anger, but unfortunately, we don't necessarily get rid of the energy. So it builds up in our body and it's very negative and it's very powerful. So the aim is to convert it into constructive behavior, something that's good, to take that angry energy and convert it into something good and then deal with your emotions. If you just suppress and suppress and don't deal with it and don't go for that walk and don't get rid of that extra angry energy, turning it inward can cause things like high blood pressure and super stress in your body. It can cause other sort of negative emotional states like, you know, like anxiety and depression and things like that as well. It can also, like, unexpressed and suppressed anger can also cause us to become passive aggressive. So we express our anger in like those snarky ways, you know, like super sarcastic. Or one of my ex's favorite ways was to, oh, I was just joking. Well, it's not funny when you're hurting someone's feelings and you're saying really mean things about them. So, but that, I think that was his way. He was not an explosive guy. He was not someone who just like yelled at me or was angry at me ever. He was the quiet guy. He suppressed, but I'm sure he was angry, whether it was at me or life or work or whatever. And it came out in those sort of jokey, super sarcastic, kind of cutting humor. We used to literally have arguments about that. Apparently, I had no sense of humor because I couldn't take a joke. If you can't joke about yourself, well, it's not funny. Like when you say cruel things about me, that's not a joke. It's like, it's just unkind, right? But anyway, so it's understanding if you catch yourself being that person who's like saying these really sort of underhanded things to these people because you don't want to be angry, but it just slips out, like you just can't help yourself. You might need to do something about expressing your anger in a different way and getting a bit of that energy, that angry energy. And then, of course, one way to deal with anger is to find calming strategies, like things to do to calm yourself. And I mean, we all know, you know, some calming strategies like breath work and, you know, things like that. It's pretty hard to, if you're super angry, to sit down and go, oh, I'm just going to breathe now. It might take you a little while to get to that place, but that's where a walk comes in. Like, I'm so seething with anger, I'm going to go for a walk. And when I calm down a bit, I'm going to then do some of these calming strategies that I have that I know work for me, like breathing or singing or listening to music or writing or jogging or I don't know. Whatever they are for you. The other thing that you can do to avoid or to deal with anger basically is to avoid getting angry in the first place, to try to stop it at its source. So there's little things like we get angry about, like our kids who leave a messy room all the time. Like it's a different kind of anger, but it's something that can build and build until one day you walk past your teenager's bedroom and you just lose your shit and you pack everything into garbage bags and throw it out the curb or something like that, right? Like we all have those moments as parents where it's just like, that's it. But you know, it's like There's other things you can do. Like I know for myself, my boys were messy and it drove me absolutely crazy. I like an orderly environment. So the rule was that the doors were closed to their bedrooms so that I wouldn't lose it all the time and spend half my life yelling at them for how messy their rooms were. And on Saturdays, they weren't allowed to do anything. They weren't allowed to go see friends, girlfriends, do anything until they had tidied up their room. So every Saturday, beds got stripped, rooms got tidied, everything got done by them. And so then that was the compromise. So my sanity remained intact and they didn't hate me too much, at least not for that reason, right? The other thing that we can do when we feel the anger like building and boiling is we can use humor within ourselves. I'm not necessarily talking about using my ex's strategy. That's not the kind of humor I'm talking about. It's more like, okay, here's one. I remember once this was in the middle of like our mess, and I was pretty angry at him almost every day, just always. And so anyway, I was sitting at a light and I happened to be right like where the intersection where his office was. And there I see him about to cross the street. He is crossing the street to go to the coffee shop across from his office. I was like, oh my God, I just want to run him down. Like, I am not a violent person, okay? But I'm like, I called my friend. I'm like, just tell me not to do it because I so badly want to just hit the gas and go, oh my God, officer, I don't know. I must have had a seizure. Like, I so badly wanted to hit him. So I pictured myself doing it. It's just humor. I kind of giggled. I was like, oh my God, what if I hit him? I pictured the conversation with the police. It was awful. I would never do something like that. But it allowed me to kind of giggle about it. And I laughed about it with my friend. That's the horrible person that I am. I was just so mad at him. I was like, oh, wouldn't all my problems just go away if I just ran him down in my van right now? It's completely normal to think like that sometimes because you're just angry, angry at this person. So have a giggle about it. Put a picture in your head that makes you laugh a little bit, and then just let it go. Just let it go. Create some humor around it. Yeah. That's all I can say about that. The other thing is, of course, to try to communicate to avoid, this is to avoid anger, okay? To communicate with people, whoever, in a more constructive way. Because when we are angry, we tend to jump to conclusions. We tend to assume certain things that aren't necessarily the case. We build a story around our anger, and it might not be a real, like the true story, because we build stories around what other people are thinking, about other people's actions, and about other people's motivation. And it's just a story we're building. We actually don't know what they're thinking. And so it clouds us. Then the story becomes the reality and it clouds our judgment. And so it's trying to slow down or to even say, if you find yourself getting really angry, is to literally say, I am getting too angry to talk about this right now. I need to walk away. I need to breathe deeply. I need to talk about this again tomorrow or later. I can't. I'm too angry right now. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with that you're angry. There's nothing wrong with saying, I can't talk to you right now. I'm too angry. I don't know what I'm going to end up saying, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. Walk away. Like you're allowed to do that. Okay. Exercise is like one of the best ways to get rid of anger because it allows you to like get it out, like go for a run, go for a brisk walk around your neighborhood, go and play with your kids, go to the gym, take a dance class, or just turn music on super loud and dance like a wild woman around your house and just get it out. Get it out of your body. Just let it let it go. Use that adrenaline for something good, like exercise is good for you. You'll come out of that probably having cried and laughed and danced and whatever and exhausted, but feeling at peace, feeling so much more relaxed. It is your responsibility to deal with your anger. It is not someone else's. The other person, and this is a story we tell ourselves, the other person made you angry. The other person did something that made you very angry, but the anger is yours. and it is for you to get rid of it. They can't get rid of it for you. They're not going to behave in a way that's going to make it go away. So it is, and it this is not, again, this is not judgment. This is empowering, ladies. Own your anger, own your reaction, own your feelings, because then you can deal with them. They're yours. They're yours to deal with. When we hand over our emotions to other people, you make me so angry. We're empowering them. We're saying they control our well-being every single day. And I know it feels like that's what's happening. I know it feels like because of what they have done or are doing, you are feeling horrible right now. You're feeling sad or lonely or angry or all of those things, right? And yes, they did something that triggered that feeling in you, but the anger is still yours. It is your emotion. You can choose to deal with the situation in a different way. I'm not saying stop being angry and be okay with what they're doing. That's not at all what I'm saying. It's just you get to choose. You get to choose how you want to feel. So yes, are we going to react? Absolutely. Are we going to get angry and get sad and start crying and all of those things? Yes. But then we can sit down later and we can ask ourselves, where did that come from? Why did I react like that? And it's not as simple as because of what they said. What they said triggered it. But when you have an explosive response, whether it's emotional or anger or something, but an emotionally explosive response to something that someone's doing to you, it is because what they're doing is triggering something that has happened before, maybe because of them. Like maybe this person has repeatedly been abusive or unkind for years and years, and now you're at a boiling point. That's possible. But then recognize that this is not just about this moment. This is about the history of treatment from this person. And I need to heal that wound so I can stop being angry every day and stop blowing up every time this person says something to me that feels hurtful. Do you see the difference there? Okay, we're going to talk more about this together. There's one more tool that I have for you before I go that can help you with this healing. And I mean, this is what I do, right? I do this. I teach, I help all of you. Or I'm here to help you if you want that, to help you heal. And one of the ways that I do that is through teaching courses. And I have one coming up that's starting on May 13th. It's called The Healing Heart. It's going to run for 6 weeks. And for 6 weeks, we're going to meet once a week like this. I'll talk a little. You'll talk a lot more. We will work through basically six areas of healing: understanding our pain, connecting with our story. Remember, I was telling you this, like anger story, for example, the stories we tell ourselves about what has happened, about how we're feeling. We need to connect with our story. What is the story you're telling yourself about what has happened? What are you saying to yourself that is making you feel awful? It could be a story that has been put in your head by this other person. This other person might have said some really awful things to you, and you've accepted it as the story. This person's leaving me because of this. They told me that this is my fault, and I believe them. Like you might not be thinking about it that like clearly, but it's like, you've taken it on and you've accepted it as the story. But when we understand our pain story, the thing that keeps us in pain, and we're honest with ourselves about what we're saying to ourselves, then we can start letting go of it. Because the thing you'll have to do if you take this course with me is you have to prove to me that it's true. I always challenge my students when we do this in the same way, because we all have limiting beliefs. Like we're like, like let's say your ex left you for a younger woman, and it's like I'm just playing out a scenario here. It's my fault. He told me it's my fault because I'm unattractive, or because I gained weight, or because I'm no fun anymore. He hasn't been in love with me for years, whatever. Like let's say this person said all these horrible things to you, and you're like, oh, now I feel old and unattractive and no fun, and I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. That's a story that you might be telling yourself, right? And it's not, it's not a leap to go there. Like it happens quite without us knowing. Like we just absorb the story and we sit and we're sad and we're scared about being alone forever. And we're worried that we're always, never going to meet anyone. And we feel unattractive, and we tell ourselves that we are. And this is the pain story that we then start living. That's who we become. In order for us to heal and feel good and happy in life again, we have to let go of the pain story, regardless of whether you created it or they created it, or it was a combination, or your parents created it way back when and your ex just added to it. It doesn't matter. We're all, when you're feeling lousy, when you're feeling angry and sad and anxious and devastated and grief-stricken and all of those things, is because you are living inside your pain story. So in this course, we're going to find the story, we're going to pay attention to the story, and then we're going to let go of it. We're going to prove it wrong. We're going to realize that it's not a real story, it's just a story. And we don't want that story. And so we're going to release the story. The biggest thing, this is the third thing we're going to do, is the biggest thing that holds us back from all of that is fear. Fear of doing something different, fear of living a different life, fear of being a different person, fear of being happy. We can be afraid of that. Because what do we have to do to get happy? What do we have to change? What has to happen for us to be happy? That can be scary. It can actually feel safer and better and easier to be unhappy in a way that we always have been, than to do something completely different to be happy in a new way. That's the kind of fuckery that our brain does to us, by the way. This is not a conscious way of thinking. It's just the kind of stuff we do. Anyway, so then we let go of our fear, and then we're ready to let go of our inner victim, this part that they control, and you take back control of your life. You start to feel confident and empowered. And now we rewrite. This is number five. We rewrite your story. Now you take control and you write the story that you want to live in, the happy story, the empowered story, the new story. And then we start making that happen. So that's the course I'm running. It's called The Healing Heart. It starts on May 13th. And I'll share the link here for you. But I'm happy to share any other. I answer any questions about it. Because of this, I always offer something special when I'm selling something in a masterclass. And my offer to you is, if you want to take that class, if you buy it and you decide to take this course with me, I would like to offer you a free coaching session with me before the course starts, where you and I will talk about, like, kind of get you set up for it. Like, we'll identify the story, we'll just kind of prepare you, do all the groundwork. So when you come into this course, you're ready. You're ready. You know what your pain story is. We get to work right away. So I want to help you prepare and get ready and find your way into this course. So that is my offer to you, is like a sort of 55-minute Zoom call with me before the course starts to get you all set up. That is the special offer for today. So having said all that, the website is theseparationclub.com/healingheart, all one word. Now I'm going to stop talking. So there you have it. That is the end of the masterclass and the conversation that followed. Like I said, I kept it private for their privacy reasons and out of respect for them and their personal journeys and what they're going through. However, there is, as I said many times now, an opportunity for you to participate in an environment like this, supportive, helpful, kind, compassionate, and forward moving. I'd love for you to join us in the Healing Heart. All the details are below. There is nothing more for me to say at this point. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.